Joe about Fillmore Street. This is TheFieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from sunny San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 8th of September, 2016. On this date in 1380, Russian forces defeat the Mongols at the Battle of Kulikovo, the beginning of the end for the Mongol domination of Russia. 1504, Michelangelo's David is unveiled at the Piazza della Signora in Florence. 1514, the Battle of Orsha, one of the biggest battles of the century. Lithuanians and Poles defeat the Russian army in a little town called Orsha, which is now in Belarus. 1888, the first ever military submarine is launched by the Spanish Navy. 1900, the deadliest natural disaster in U.S. history. A ginormous hurricane hits Galveston, Texas, killing 8,000 people. Fantastic book about it is called Isaac's Storm by Eric Larson. 1930, the 3M company launches a first marketing campaign for Scotch tape, first adhesive tape to use transparent cellophane. 1935, colorful character U.S. Senator from Louisiana, Huey Long, is fatally shot in the Louisiana State Capitol building. 1951, the Treaty of San Francisco is signed, formally ending the Second World War in the Pacific. The treaty gave back to Japan sovereignty over its own political affairs and established the reparations that Japan would have to pay to victims of war crimes committed by its military. 1974, U.S. President Gerald Ford pardons former President Richard Nixon for any crimes Nixon may have committed while in office. 1978, the Black Friday massacre occurs in Tehran when soldiers fire on protesters, killing 88 people total. Western media sources originally reported the number of dead being as high as 15,000. Black Friday is remembered as a turning point in the Iranian Revolution that led to the Shah's abdication less than a year later. Birthdays are Richard the Lionheart, Patsy Cline, Peter Sellers, Bernie Sanders, and Martin Freeman. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to TheFieldPod.com or send an email to TheFieldPod@gmail.com. European Parliament Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice, and Home Affairs voted on the 5th of September to lift visa requirements for Georgian citizens to the Schengen area. Measure was approved by 44 votes to 5, would allow holders of Georgian passports to enter any Schengen area country without a visa beforehand. Committee also voted in favor of visa-free status for Kosovo. Few steps still need to be taken before it becomes a reality. The measure needs to be approved by the EU Parliament. It is expected that they'll vote on it during one of their October sessions. Also, it needs to be approved by the EU Council of Home Affairs and Justice, which is made up of the Home Affairs and Justice Ministers from each member country. Then, if all of those bodies approve the measure, it needs to be ratified by the national parliament of each EU member country. Representatives from the NATO Council, including Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, are in Tbilisi this week to meet with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze, Defense Minister Levan Izorian, and Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili. They're also meeting with officials from other countries, including U.S. Ambassador Ian Kelly. It's the fourth time the NATO Council has visited Georgia. During the joint press conference with Prime Minister, Stoltenberg said that NATO would step up its military presence in the Black Sea to respond to Russia building up its naval forces in the Crimea. He also made clear that Russia doesn't have any say over whether Georgia becomes a NATO member in the future. Although, if the Russians weren't in South Ossetia and Abkhazia, I'm guessing map would have shown up a little quicker. Following up on the Rustavioti case, former Defense Minister and Interior Minister Irakli Okoroshvili claimed that he has documents proving that Kibar Khalvashi, the plaintiffs in last year's ownership dispute regarding the television station, or the person that was put forward in order to, you know, make that case, that he never controlled any shares in the station, even though he was the nominal owner. Okoroshvili released to the public a contract apparently signed by Khalvashi and himself, which confirms Khalvashi as the owner, as the nominal owner of the station, but says that he represented Okoroshvili and wasn't supposed to make any corporate decisions without Okoroshvili's approval. Khalvashi says the contract is a forgery, but if true, it casts doubts on his claim to be the rightful owner of the station. Last November, the Tbilisi City Court ruled in favor of Khalvashi's claim that Rustavioti had been legally taken from him as a result of intimidation from the national movement. The court ruled that the station should be taken from its current owners and returned to him. Rustavioti was just moved around all over the place after Erosi Kitsmatashvili fell out of favor with Misha and went from here to there, tossed to the winds, and Khalvashi has no greater claim than anyone. Whereas Okoroshvili actually did control the station for a while, but the station was given to him just as it was to everybody else subsequently. Armenia's Prime Minister Hovik Abramyan resigned on Thursday, citing the public's dissatisfaction with the current government. He mentioned that Armenian society has become very polarized. The government needs to move in a new direction. He was appointed Prime Minister 2 years ago by current President Serge Sarkisian. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty speculated that Abramyan is likely to be replaced by Karen Karapetyan, the former mayor of Yerevan. In travel to and from Georgia, Prime Minister was in Yerevan this week, meeting with Armenian President Serge Sarkisian and now ex-Prime Minister Hovik Abramyan. During the meeting, Armenians denied allegations that they met with Abkhaz officials last month in Nagorno-Karabakh. Foreign Minister John Elidze was in Berlin for a meeting of the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE. Foreign ministers of all the OSCE member countries were there to discuss security challenges. John Elidze met with German State Secretary Emily Haber. Chairwoman of the National Council of the Swiss Confederation was in Tbilisi this week to meet with Prime Minister and Foreign Minister. They discussed trade and economic ties between the two countries. Britain's new ambassador to Georgia, Justin McKenzie Smith, arrived in Tbilisi this week. Welcome, Ambassador McKenzie Smith. It's his first ambassadorial post. He replaces Alex Hall Hall. Otsneba released its party list for the parliamentary election scheduled for the 8th of October. Two current cabinet members who are on the party list, Energy Minister Kaja Kaladze and Agriculture Minister Otar Danelia, have had to resign by the 10th of September. This is due to Georgia's election code, which says that holders of certain cabinet positions can't stay in their post if they're on the party list due to conflict of interest. Campaign finance news, the state audit office, which regulates the financial behavior of political parties, recommended that the court fine Otsneba member Rima Beradze and the organization Georgia Dream Healthy Future a total of 4,000 lari each. The audit office says Beradze and the organization broke rules when they provided free medical examinations to about 40 public school teachers. The examinations were intended to boost support for Otsneba during the pre-election period. State audit office also recommended a fine of 183,200 lari to be imposed on a donor to the Alliance of Patriots, who they said illegally got around the single-source donation limit of 60,000 lari by having a large donation, 91,600 lari, spread out between four individuals, none of whom have enough money to make such a large donation themselves. The recommendation fine is twice the amount of the legal donation. Also, the audit office recommends that fines totaling 39,000 lari be imposed on four different donors to State of the People, the political party launched by opera singer Pata Burchuladze. Each donor put up 19,500 lari, but the audit office says none of them have that kind of money, so they must be donating on someone else's behalf. 20 civil society organizations launched the Coalition for a Euro-Atlantic Georgia. The members of the organization will pool their resources and efforts towards supporting Georgia's integration into the EU and NATO. Some notable members include the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, as well as Open Society Georgia, the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, the Georgian Foundation for Strategic and International Studies, and a bunch of other high-profile organizations active in Georgia. Tamar Chugoshvili, parliamentary candidate with Otsneba, accused the national movement of planning to stage provocations during Otsneba's campaign events. She said that their plan is to stoke unrest because they don't stand much of a chance at the ballot box next month. Her claims were backed up by Energy Minister Kaji Kaladze, who said the national movement has created a separate organization to create unrest. The national movement predictably hit back, saying that the claims are Russian propaganda. They also pointed to the incident in Kortsheli in May when members of the national movement were assaulted by hooligans claiming to be linked to Otsneba. The prime minister also gave a response. He said the claims about Russian propaganda and influence in Georgia's government should be taken seriously, but they're totally overblown. The pro-Russian forces are too small and under-resourced to have any real influence in Georgia. Bidzina predicted that Otsneba will win roughly 100 of 150 seats in the parliamentary election. He also said that the party has no serious competitors, but that the national movement and the four-party bloc led by State for the People will likely win the second and third highest number of seats. During the debate televised by Rustaviotti, Parliamentary Speaker Usupashvili said that Georgia should get a permanent U.S. military base on its territory before it becomes a full-fledged NATO member, and that he and his Republican Party would lobby Washington to get a base located here. He also repeated calls for Georgia's NATO Atlantic orientation to be written into the Constitution. Gorey City Council voted to dismiss Council Chairman Ilya Metrovelli with 10 voting in favor of dismissing and 3 voting against. Metrovelli is known to be close to Irakli Okroashvili. Man was arrested on the 3rd of September for threatening witnesses in the case involving Goderzi Tevzadze, the police officer who's accused of blackmailing Demur Studua. Studua is the young man who committed suicide last month near Samtredia. The arrested man, whose relation to the case is not clear, allegedly showed up at the home of Studua's mother and brother and threatened to hurt them if they didn't change their testimony. Studua's mother said she has known the man personally for the past decade. If found guilty of threatening a witness, he could serve 5 to 8 years in jail. As an update, Tevzadze was ordered to be put in pretrial detention last week, but is currently on the run from the police. Environmental activists are still protesting in front of Tbilisi City Hall, demanding the dismissal of the city's environmental service head, Nino Sulkhanishvili, as well as reform of the municipal service. The protest started on the 17th of August after city workers cut down roughly 40 trees in Sapartala to make room for 2 new housing blocks. The city has laws against cutting down healthy trees, which environmental activists say they violated. Prosecutor's office is investigating whether the tree removal was illegal. Mayor Dato Narmania said he won't decide on whether to fire Sulkhanishvili until after the investigation is over. He did impose a temporary freeze on tree cutting in Tbilisi until new regulations can be put in place. City Hall released figures stating that there are currently about 400,000 cars in operation in Tbilisi, double the amount that there were in 2010. City Hall has also said it has a plan for reducing traffic congestion, which includes things like improving public transportation and road infrastructure and imposing new regulations on driving. The plan will be implemented this year and next year. City Hall also announced that a number of Tbilisi streets will be made for pedestrians only. The recently renovated park of Agmashinabeli Avenue that's near Sarbrücken Square, as well as Erekli Meore, Alexander Dumas, Chardeni, Bambis Rigi, and Rihnis Rigi. They said the decision is to promote tourism and respond to the wishes of Tbilisi residents. Financial Crimes Unit at the Finance Ministry busted a local shop for selling counterfeit Nokia and Samsung phones. The company, Meinf Zoomer LLC, labeled generic phones with Logi and Samsung trademarks. The company's owner could face between 3 to 5 years in jail. Central Bank lowered its benchmark interest rate by 0.25%. It's now 6.5%. They've been gradually cutting the rate from its high of 8% since April as a response to inflation being lower than expected. Geostat reported that year-on-year inflation was 0.9% in August, slightly less than July's annual rate of 1.5%. Prices for alcohol and tobacco rose the most by 11.9% from the same time last year. Transportation prices are down 7.7%. Geostat also published data on foreign direct investment. Net foreign investment, which is the total income investment minus the total outgoing investment, was $445 million. In the second quarter of 2016, an 8% decline from the same period in 2015. The biggest investors were Azerbaijan, UK, and the Czech Republic. International oil giants ExxonMobil and BP are at odds over a major oil production deal with the Azeri government. BP operates the Azeri Chigar Güneşli or ACG oil fields in the Caspian Sea, which supply about one-tenth of its global output. They've agreed on terms with the Azeri government to renew their agreement for 30 years. Experts say that could lead to the production of another $100 billion worth of oil at current prices. It's being blocked, however, by ExxonMobil, which also owns a stake in the ACG oil fields. They want to hold out until the Azeris give the oil companies a better deal. The current agreement is still good for another 8 years. But the consortium that owns the output from the fields wants to get the deal done as soon as possible so they can plan long-term projects. The norm is to get deals done about 10 years before they expire. Everyone wants to do that except ExxonMobil, which has the 8% stake. BP stake is 36%, and ExxonMobil knows how incredibly indebted and weak BP is. Government overhauled the duty tax on imported goods. Certain imports, which haven't been specified yet, will be exempt from value-added tax. The reform is part of the Prime Minister's four-point plan for stimulating economic growth by simplifying the country's tax code. The Nguti Hydropower Plant, Georgia's largest power plant, will shut down for repairs for 3 weeks in 2017 and 4 months in 2018. The renovation work will cost between $20 and $25 million. Nguti currently generates 30% of Georgia's entire electrical supply, so temporary shortfalls will need to be made up via other sources. International hotel group Carlson Residor announced that it will open a new five-star hotel, the Radisson Blue Tsinandali, which will be Cajeti's first internationally branded hotel. $30 million project is being financed with $10 million from the Partnership Fund and $20 million from the Silk Road Group. Construction is scheduled to finish by the end of 2018. Ajada Group, which operates the Holiday Inn and Rooms brand in Georgia, which opened its first hotel geared towards younger budget travelers on the 28th of September. The hostel is in a complex called Fabrica. It's an old clothing manufacturing building on the other side of the river. We'll have between 300 to 400 beds that can be rented for about $15 a night. Ajada Group owns the entire complex and is renting out space to other businesses, including a dive bar and an impact hub, which is the world's biggest network of social enterprise shared working spaces. And there is a video movie-making school on the second floor above the dive bar across from the hostel. The Jar Group also announced that from November, it will be running 8-person flights between Tbilisi, Batumi, Kutaisi, and Mestia. Ticket price has not been announced yet. The grape harvest has begun in Cajeti. So far, 1,850 tons of Rcazitelli grapes and 1,110 tons of Saperavi grapes have been processed in Dedo Pliscaro. Wine producers are paying 80 tetri per kilo for Saperavi grapes, 35 tetri per kilo for Rcazitelli and Msvane grapes. In addition, the government provides subsidies of between 20 and 45 tetri per kilo, slightly higher than the subsidies provided in 2015. Last year, the total grape harvest was worth about 107 million lari. Local company Guria Hazelnut will open a new hazelnut processing plant in the town of Lanchuti in Guria. Roughly $60,000 plant will employ about 30 people, be able to process about 100 tons of hazelnuts each year. The project is also getting support from the government-sponsored Produce in Georgia program. Latvian company Ferris announced plans to invest in Georgia's tourism industry. The company specializes in building and operating tourism infrastructure. This week, they held a meeting with the government and the Partnership Fund to discuss potential investment opportunities. JSC Bank of Georgia has a new CEO, Kaja Kiknavelidze. Mr. Kiknavelidze replaces outgoing CEO Murtaz Kikoria. He's worked for the company for several years on the supervisory board and audit committee. A crisis center for victims of domestic violence opened in Tbilisi. The shelter is the first of its kind in Georgia. It will provide a range of services to people in need, including shelter and medical care. It can house up to 14 people at a time and is designed for people with disabilities. The shelter is funded by the Ministry of Labor, Health, and Social Affairs with support from the UN, the Swedish Development Agency. 10 new German-made buses scheduled to start operating in Tbilisi this month. The buses will first start running on the Chavchavadze-Rustaveli-Baratashvili-Pushkini route. More of the new buses will gradually be brought in, totaling 143 by February of this coming year. Georgian Institute of Public Affairs, GIPA, as it used to be called, is launching a master's program in environmental management and policy, the first of its kind in a Georgian university. The university is partnering with a German Corporation for International Cooperation, or GIZ, which will cover up to 90% of students' tuition fees. National football team lost 2-1 against Austria in a World Cup qualifier at Dynamo Arena on the 5th of August. Georgia is in a group with Wales, Austria, Serbia, Ireland, and Moldova. The group's winner will automatically qualify for the 2018 FIFA World Cup currently planned to be held in Russia because they paid the most bribes. Parliament was supposed to return from summer recess, but failed to reconvene because not enough members showed up. Only 30 showed up on the 7th of September. A minimum of 76 have to be present to hold a session. For two reasons, the National Movement lawmakers have been boycotting parliamentary sessions since May when the incident in Korchheli happened. Also, according to Gia Volsky of Otsneba, a lot of members decided not to show up because they're focused on the campaign. Parliamentary Legal Committee did meet, however, and approved the Supreme Court judge candidates nominated by President Margvelashvili, Levon Budzashvili, Nona Todua, and Tamar Laliashvili. The candidates now need to be approved by a plenary session of Parliament. The meme this week is a video taken at a conference hosted by the McCain Institute and Economic Policy Research Center at Runes Hotel in Vera. A huge rabbit who is apparently interested in countering Russian propaganda showed up at the conference, made quite a splash. Conference was attended by leaders from the Georgian government, the NATO Council, U.S. and Ukraine, including the head of the McCain Institute, Kurt Volker. Hollywood Reporter reviews House of Others, a new film by Rusudan Glurjidze that's being considered for the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. The film deals with an aftermath of the civil wars of the 90s, but according to the reviewer, specialized knowledge about Georgia's history is not necessary. The film focuses more on creating a visual aesthetic than on weaving an elaborate plot. Social Sciences in the Caucasus looks at public trust in the banking system. They find that trust levels have fallen every year since 2009, so the causes are deeper than the Lari's weak performance over the past 2 years. Most alarming among rural residents, distrust in the banking system has nearly quadrupled since 2010. Civil.ge is running a photo reel of the environmental protest outside City Hall. They're demanding the resignation of the city's environmental head, Nino Sulkhanishvili, as we mentioned before. But they also want an overhaul of Tbilisi's policy towards environmental and green, in the environment in general, and green spaces specifically. World Bank publishes an annual report on poverty reduction in Georgia. It finds that poverty is still a big problem, but it has fallen from every year from 2011 to 2014, and that much of the credit goes to the fact that more rural households are engaged in productive economic activities. It also says that lack of proper education is the number one factor that keeps individuals, families, and communities in entrenched poverty. Freedom House published its 2016 Nations in Transit report for Georgia. The report is written by Michael Cicieri. Georgia received an overall score of 4.61 out of 6, slightly lower than its score from 2014 and 15. Georgia scored highest on national and local democratic governance, but lowest on civil society. New post from ISET Economist blog deals with consumer confidence and how it tends to be stable over time. Confidence took a big hit 2015 due to the lari losing a lot of value, but it's gradually moving back to its long-term levels. They also find consumer confidence to be closely linked to measurements of happiness, which also tends to be stable over time. Madonna Gasanova writes in the Financial about citizenship by investment programs, something that Georgia currently does not have. However, foreigners can get a residence permit if they invest at least 300,000 lari. Some economists and business leaders think a citizenship for investment program will help bring money into the country, especially if Georgia gets visa-free travel to the EU. The Georgian National Investment Agency thinks that such a policy wouldn't be much good. Luke Coffey of the Heritage Foundation presents the visit of NATO bigwigs to Tbilisi this week. He thinks that Georgia has made enough democratic security and economic progress to get a lot more support from NATO than it currently does. He makes a case for giving a clear path to NATO membership. Chicago Tribune lists Tbilisi as one of the best travel destinations this summer. They specifically mention the city's Persian and Art Nouveau architecture. Foreign Policy covers comments made by Misha about a recent case of mob violence against a Roma village near Odessa, which started after a local Roma man was charged with raping and killing a young girl. No one was hurt by the mob because the local Roma population had already fled. Controversy is that Misha made comments in support of the angry mob, saying that he shared their outrage about crime and antisocial behavior in the village, two things that are widely blamed on its Roma population. He also didn't mention the fact that the man in custody had not yet been convicted of any crime, but that was something that he used to do while president of Georgia, talking about people who may or may not have committed crimes as criminals. The Daily Beast has a piece on the upscale Kiev neighborhood of Vozhdvizhenka. The neighborhood is described as a Potemkin village. It was built in the latter half of the 2000s in the ruins of a pre-Soviet working-class neighborhood. It cost about $100 million to develop, and many of the buildings are visually stunning McMansions, but poorly constructed. In the author's view, it is a microcosm for Kiev over the past decade and a half. The American Interest has a podcast interview with Peter Pomerantsev, the brilliant journalist who writes about television, entertainment, and political misinformation in Russia. He talks about his 2015 book, Nothing is True and Everything is Possible, as well as about the U.S. presidential election campaign. He also discusses the cultural influence that Russian money has in London, referring to Londoners as service class of the global rich. By the way, radarami.org, that's R-A-D-A-R-A-M-I, radarami.org, will be publishing the Georgian translation of Nothing is True, Everything is Possible. Quite soon, please check the radarami.org website. Eurasianet's Josh Cusetta writes about the complicated politics of Armenian genocide recognition in Germany. The German Bundestag passed a resolution this June to officially recognize a genocide. Turkey hit back, recalled its ambassador, is refusing to allow German politicians to visit their troops serving at a German air base. They said the policy won't change unless Germany denies genocide recognition, and Der Spiegel reported that the German chancellery plans to issue an official statement saying that the resolution is passed by the Bundestag and is therefore non-binding, so the German government actually doesn't recognize the Armenian genocide. Reuters has a piece on attempts at reconciliation by the EU and Turkey. EU foreign ministers and Turkish officials met on the 2nd of September for the first time since the failed coup attempt in July. Turkey's still angry at what they see as a lack of support after the failed coup attempt. The EU is still critical of Turkey's human rights record and its crackdown on civil society after the coup attempt. Turkey also said it won't enter into any agreement about controlling the flow of refugees and migrants until it gets visa liberalization from the EU. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 53,000, the number of Tbilisi residents that are ethnic Armenian, which is about 4.8% of the population. Tbilisi was more than one-third Armenian as late as the 1920s, and at the turn of the century, a majority Armenian. Prominent classical musicians from around the world will perform at the Batumi Music Festival on the 17th to the 22nd of September. Performers include Cypriot pianist Cyprian Katsaris and Belarusian pianist Maya Irgalina. They'll be led by American conductor Philip Mann. The event was founded in 2013 by Georgian pianist Eliso Bolkwadze. For friends of Georgia in the UK, Tbilisi Heritage Group is putting on a photo exhibition on the 22nd of September at the gallery at Allen Baxter & Associates in London. The exhibition will show photos by Richard Davies, who worked with threatened architectural treasures. Entry is free. NGO Transparency, that's TransparenCee, which is not related to Transparency International, is hosting a community meetup on the 13th of September at Rooms Hotel. They'll talk about the relationship between technology and civil society activism, how we can use technology to increase transparency and openness. For more information, you can email Anna Kuliberda at akuliberda@techsoup.org. TechSoup is a sort of technology for good organization that I think is based in Warsaw. That email address again is akuliberda@techsoup.org. The hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, launched a new website called chemichma.ge, which helps Georgian voters decide which political party has a platform that is closest to their own. Visitors are invited to answer 36 policy-related questions and then are told whose answers stack up against the views of Georgia's major political parties. In order to ensure accuracy, the quiz was sent out to all the country's major political parties, and their answers were recorded as well. Haley Sweetland Edwards, a Time reporter who is previously based in Tbilisi, has a new book out called Shadow Courts, which investigates the investor-state dispute settlement tribunals that mediate trade disputes. These tribunals allow powerful multinational corporations to challenge the laws and regulations of countries that they operate in if they believe those laws were unfair or harmful to their business interests. Shadow Courts is published by Columbia Global Reports. It's very, very interesting, and I would encourage you to get it. It's something that's not much discussed. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with 1966, Detroit, Michigan. This is the Supremes, and You Keep Me Hanging On.
You guys...